And June 1 arrives, and I bring you greetings. Summertime is here, and the year is moving right along. And I am so honored and privileged to spend this morning with you in our prayer training. I love these times, and I appreciate your faithfulness to these times. You're a blessing to me, and I trust that God's presence will be a blessing to all of us today. When my grandfather was alive, he used to have a Martin guitar, and he would stand behind the pulpit there at Grabalt Road Church of God, and he would sing a song that still rings in my memory and in my heart to this day. The chorus went like this: shut in with God in a secret place, there in the spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the race. I love to be shut in with God. And that was true of my grandfather. He did love his times of being shut in with God. They were, in fact, the source of strength and endurance and perseverance for his ministry for many, many decades. And his ministry lives on in me with you this morning because I was influenced by those words and by his example. And this morning we continue our time together as we think about the topic, our time alone with God. What does it mean to spend time alone with God, to be shut in with God, as my grandpa used to say? Well, we've been discovering over recent weeks there are several meanings to that. It means listening. Listening with a heart like Samuel long ago. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It means waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Allowing him to love you, allowing him to search you, allowing him to show you what's on his heart and in his mind as it relates with you. It's about confessing. You know, that time letting him search us, that time letting him show us will often lead to times where we need to confess a sin. And we do that immediately, trusting the promise if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a powerful connection forms when this happens. It's about praying the scripture. A couple Tuesdays ago, you were given an assignment to pray the scripture. And last Tuesday, what a beautiful moment it was as I was privileged to hear you pray scriptures that you had personalized between you and the Lord. Time alone with God is also about meditating on God's word. As James said, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. And meditating is that time we spend between hearing it and doing it. As we understand God's word by thinking on it, meditating on it, we're given guidance by the Holy Spirit what we need to do with what we've just been shown. Well, these are some powerful steps in our time alone with God. And today we go to the next one. It's about interceding. Interceding with God. This lies at the heart of our prayer partners' ministry, interceding for others with God. We are Christians in this group who are unique in this church. Our whole purpose centers around the idea that we intercede for other people with God. We do many things, but at the heart of it, that is what prayer partners has been all about. You pray for your pastor. You pray for your church. You pray for your world. And that is intercession. Yesterday afternoon, most of you, if not all of you, received a text from Helen passing along a prayer request from my wife, Laurie, regarding her mother. And you stopped and you prayed and you lifted that need and that person to God. That's intercession. And that's a powerful part of our time alone with God as well as with each other. Job gave us a cry that I think describes prayer partners best. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a neighbor pleads for a friend. That's in Job 16:31. And my friends, I want you to know that that prayer that you prayed for Lori's mother yesterday is deeply appreciated. It is powerful and it is effective. And Lori is there this morning with her mom and her sister, and the home health nurse is scheduled to come by, and we're encouraged by the fact that someone is coming to help provide some more medical guidance and care. But so much of the encouragement that came to Lori yesterday was through your prayers. In fact, if you think about intercession, it's not just about a text you receive. It's about this box that we all look at every Tuesday morning. The lid is open. This is our prayer box. And in this prayer box, we have over 100 cards, I would think, with names of individuals that are on our hearts, and we're praying for these people, and we're interceding for them with God. And the box is open because it's a reminder visually that we never forget these requests that we have been making to God on behalf of other people. You know, back in January when we had our kind of our renewal of our prayer partner ministry here at Parkview, we did something in that time together, that launch Sunday. We had what I call is a prayer chair. And I remember the ladies gathering with the ladies and the men gathering with the men. And individuals were encouraged. If they had a burden about something or for their own selves, they were encouraged to take a seat in the prayer chair. And the people began to gather around, laying hands on their shoulder and praying to God. That's intercession. That's intercession with God. Later this morning, when we wrap up our time here in the training time, I want us to practice that once again. It will be our way of applying this lesson. In fact, I'm not going to spend as much time in training. We're going to spend more time in doing with the prayer chair. Why do we do this? Where does this come from, this whole aspect of intercession? I've talked about a lot of details with texts and prayer boxes and prayer chairs, but what is the biblical basis beyond what Job said? Well, in the New Testament, we see Paul confirming what Job said in the Old Testament about intercession. In 2 Timothy 2:1 through 4, he wrote his follower, his disciple Timothy, these words: I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I don't know about you, but it can't be said any more clearly than that. Would you agree? Paul spelled it out. Timothy, intercede. Make it a priority. Make it a part of your discipleship. As I train you, I want you to train others. And so here's what I want to say before we go into our prayer chair time. whether you're in this group here in this room this morning, or whether you're watching on that live stream, or perhaps you're listening to this in an audio recording later, the prayer chair approach can be put into practice by anyone at any time. I want us to remember that this isn't just for church. If a person's at work and they have an individual that they work with, a coworker, who is a burden, you know, there's nothing wrong with just saying, why don't you have a seat and let me pray for you? And you place your hand on their shoulder and you pray a prayer of intercession. Or maybe you're in a classroom setting, or maybe you're in a, you know, maybe you're in your home and someone you care about is visiting and they're sharing their heart with you and they're burdened about something with you. You know, we don't have to just do prayer chair intercession just here at the church. You could just say, well, would you just let me place my hand on your shoulder as you are seated there and just lift up that prayer to them. You see, I think it could also happen in Sunday school lessons, in youth meetings, in children's times. Wherever we are, the prayer chair, I think, is a useful and powerful tool. When people know that you and I care enough about them to stop right where we are and to just gather with them before God, placing our hand on their shoulder and lifting a prayer of intercession for them, it's powerful. God's presence comes in and it makes a difference. Some of my happiest memories as a pastor here at this church over a 25-year period are those times when I would gather on an August Saturday morning with a lot of the men of this church. This is going back 20 years. And these men were gathered there for prayer training. And as a part of that training, we would just take out the prayer chair. And I would get us started. And I would just say, brothers, would you pray for me? And I would share a request. And then they would, in turn, take their turn in the prayer chair. I wish I had recorded some of the prayers I heard by those men in those prayer chair times long ago. Oh, that a man might plead for a man. Oh, that a woman might plead for a woman with God as a neighbor pleads for their friend. That's what we're going to do here in just a moment. And to prepare our hearts for this prayer chair time, which won't be online, but which will be a part of our application of this morning's intercession lesson, I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Could we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.